This morning, as we look at a sermon in the book of Daniel, young people, one thing that I wanted to do before I left this, the book of Revelation, is to take you back to an Old Testament book in the book of Daniel. You know, there are a lot of people that think, well, the Old Testament is Old Testament Jewish history, and therefore they do not see it relevant like they do the New Testament. But there are some 850 plus times that the New Testament quotes the Old Testament. And to fully appreciate what we have studied for the past 32 weeks in the book of Revelation, this morning I want to preach a sermon found in Daniel chapter 9 that unlocks what we just studied for the past 32 weeks in the book of Revelation. But before we do that, would you stand with me as we pray together this morning? Will you join me as we say together the model prayer from the Bible? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 24 through verse 27. I want to read that right now. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now that, young people, means Israel. And upon thy holy city, that means Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, that means they rejected Christ, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's referring to Jesus going to the cross, dying for the sin, shedding his blood so that you and I can have eternal life, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, the millennium, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 70, that means 60 there, and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, that means offerings, to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. There are three things that I want to speak about this morning. In church, I'm going to be speaking directly to our youth today, because I want them to understand, and you will get the same message as you listen, but I want them to fully understand what we've been studying in the book of Revelation, and that when you look at the book of Daniel chapter 9 and you see God's time clock ticking, so to speak, on what's going to happen in the future, that they can tie this book to the book of Revelation and understand what we've been studying. So here in the book of Daniel, to our youth this morning, this passage that I just read to you, it's the future of what is going to happen one of these days. And so we're looking at God's clocks of prophecy. It's really an incredible passage here. So in order to connect what has gone on previously in the other verses here in chapter 9 of Daniel, as I read those verses, is what's happening in the verses before what I read. Daniel is having his quiet time with God. Daniel is having a devotion with God, and in particular, as he's reading from another Old Testament book. He's reading from the book of Jeremiah. And so as he's reading, he comes to understand that while he is down in Babylon, where they had been taken from their homeland of Jerusalem, they were taken captivity by the Babylonian nation. And Daniel's been down there. And God said they're going to be there for 70 years in captivity. Well, Daniel's reading along in the book of Jeremiah, and all of a sudden he realizes this time of captivity is almost over, that they would be able to go back to their homeland. He's so overcome by what he's read, he is so stirred that he begins to pray. And he prays one of the greatest prayers here in all of the Old Testament. It's a prayer of confession. Evidently, he started his devotion early, early in the morning. And being the very busy person that he was, because he had a government position there in Babylon, he prayed all day until the afternoon. Notice that Daniel says he was praying there in verse 21 until the time of the evening oblation, which is the evening offering. Now in the afternoon, he's prayed all of that time. Can you imagine if all God's people prayed like Daniel was praying on this specific day? As he prays, it's also, we see the reference here of their Jewish ceremonies and all of those things. But Daniel is down in a foreign land, in a place called Babylon. He's been there for a number of years. And now he's getting excited because he's read that this time of captivity is just about over. Let me tell you, Daniel was in Babylon, but his heart was in the city of Jerusalem. There are a lot of people this morning that their hearts are here presently in this world, but their real heart is somewhere else. I can assure you there are many hearts this morning all over the world whose hearts are in heaven. They're reflecting upon their loved ones in heaven. Now, the Bible tells us that that's the way you and I ought to live, that in this life, we may be in this world, but our heart is with Jesus in heaven, where we're going to be with him one of these days. Now, Daniel is a young person. He is a young, he's in his young years, kids. And so he begins to pray. And the Bible tells us that as he prays, that God sends an angel to Daniel. He sends this angel Gabriel, and he lets him know that God's getting ready to reveal to Daniel a prophecy that has to do with Daniel's own people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. So in this revelation that God is going to give Daniel through this angel, Gabriel, we have one of the greatest passages of biblical prophecy in all the Bible. In fact, you might refer to it as the backbone of prophecy, future events, what we've studied, or you may call it the template that's used in order to understand what we have studied for the past 32 weeks. This will not only help you understand God's plan for the nation of Israel, but it will help you understand God's plan, how you and I fit into that. Three things for today. Number one, I want you to see the particulars of this prophecy. Now, I'm going to talk about this prophecy. This 70 weeks is what Daniel said. The angel comes, and gives Daniel, there's going to be 70 weeks prophesied upon the Jewish people. In other words, from Daniel's time on, God was going to reveal 70 weeks of their history. Now, I want to begin by talking about the particulars here. Notice in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, that means Israel, and upon the holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint, notice, the most holy. He says 70 weeks. Now, kids, this is where it's really important that you get this. The 70 weeks, the week means these weeks are 7 years each. Okay? So we've got 7 years each times 70 weeks, and 7 times 70 is 490 years. That's the history that was being decreed upon the nation of Israel from this time that Daniel is speaking about. So that's 70 weeks of 7 years per week. It's not the days of the week like you and I understand Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's not those days. But each week represents 7 years each. So there's going to be a period, Gabriel says, to Daniel of 490 years upon the nation of Israel. He says in this particular prophecy that it has to do, of course, with the Jewish people and the holy city of Jerusalem. So, kids, that's the particulars of the 70 weeks. Secondly, this morning, what is the purpose of this 70 week that he's talking about? Notice in verse 24, in the middle of the verse, he gives us those 6 different purposes for this 490-year period of history for the Jewish people. It says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined. That word determined means sure. It's just as sure as it can be that it's going to happen. He says, first of all, upon the children of Israel and upon Jerusalem to finish the transgression. In other words, there will be a period of time that will finish this transgression. He's referring to when the children of Israel rejected Jesus when he came there in the New Testament. When they rejected the Messiah, the word Messiah would be an Old Testament word for the New Testament word, Jesus Christ. The sin anyone can ever commit, the greatest sin that anyone can ever commit, is to reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's the greatest sin. In fact, it's what the Bible calls the unpardonable sin. And so he says here, there's going to be this 490 years, the 70 weeks of 7 years each. Each week is 7 years. And to determine these 6 things that are going to happen. He speaks about the reconciliation for iniquity. This is when God is going to fix the sin problem here. God would come as Jesus Christ. He would die on the cross. If you'll remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, the Bible says that John pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he made reconciliation for iniquity. So Christ died for the sins of the world. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4:10, there's a phrase that says, "Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe?" Did you get that, young people? Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. You will notice that particularly he is the Savior of all men, which means that he made reconciliation for iniquity, for sin, by dying on the cross for the entire world. And that's why you and I have the privilege this morning of coming to church. That's why I have the privilege this morning of standing and preaching that Christ died for our sins. It doesn't matter what you've ever done. It does not matter how far you've ever gone or how hopeless you may be. Christ came and died for you so that you can have eternal life. He is the Savior of all men. He is your Savior. Not only do we see that potentially that he's the Savior of the world, but he is the Savior certainly of all of those who will receive him. And so it's speaking about redemptive purposes, what Christ did at Calvary. Notice in verse 24, he also tells us that this has to do with the matter of righteousness. He says to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now what he's saying is there's a time coming when God is going to bring righteousness to this earth. It's looking beyond the cross and into the future. It's looking to that time we studied in Revelation when we use the word millennium from the Latin, which means 1,000. It means when Jesus comes back to the earth, stops the battle of Armageddon over there in the Holy Land. And the Bible says then Jesus is going to set up his earthly kingdom upon this earth. We said that a few moments ago when we said that model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's speaking about a future time in the future that you and I have not come to yet. And so he says then he's going to seal up, Daniel's told to seal up this vision, this prophecy. Now during this 490 year period of time, God is going to complete prophecy as it relates to the nation of Israel and his chosen people. And then notice there it also says another purpose is to anoint the holy, the most holy. That's a reference to the holy place. Young people, one of these days in that 1,000 year reign, there's going to be a temple in that millennial kingdom, and that holy place will be anointed. And that's what that's referring to. But there's a third thing today. Let's look at this period of 70 weeks. And Daniel 9, verse 25 to 27, we see the period of this 490 years or 70 weeks here. It's divided into three distinct periods of time. Each one of them has to do with prophecies that are related to the nation of Israel. In verse 25, he says, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, young people, I think you've been studying that in the book of Jeremiah, where they went back to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild the streets of the city of Jerusalem. Now, Daniel says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, that means Jesus, it says the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, you've got two things going on right there. There's going to be 7 weeks. They're going to go back out of Babylonian captivity. This is already in history past. They would go back and they would rebuild the city of Jerusalem. That 7 weeks there of 7 years each is 49 years. And then it says there's going to be a score is 20 years, so three of them is 60, and 2 weeks, so 62 weeks times 7 years each, then you see that's, 450 34 weeks, somewhere thereabouts, they're going to go back and build the city of Jerusalem. And then from that period till when Jesus would come, when he would march into the city of Jerusalem, would be that other 62 weeks. So if you take those 62 weeks and add them to the other 7 weeks, you've got 69 weeks that have already happened in human history. Those are already past. And so the angel told Daniel, there's going to be 70 weeks decreed upon you. So 69 weeks have already happened. That already took place. And so Titus and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And so Jesus predicted that there wouldn't be one stone left upon another, if you will remember that. And so 69 weeks of that 70 weeks there in verse 24 have already happened. It's past history. It's historical. It happened just as the Bible said it would happen. Now, when you come to that 69th week, there's one more week of 7 years left. But something happened at the end of that 69 weeks. The Jews rejected Jesus when he came. And so God has put the Jews, so to speak, on hold. A parenthesis happened. Guess what? Jesus turned to the Gentile nations. That's you and me. Anybody not Jewish. And so for the past 2,000 years, we've been living in the church age, when Jesus turned to the Gentile world to offer them the wonderful gift of eternal life. And for 2,000 years, you and I, since Jesus rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 to indwell the believer, you and I have been living in the church age. It's gone on now for 2,000 years. The clock, so to speak, stopped at the end of the 69 weeks of human history. There's only 1 week left. When is that going to happen? Well, let me tell you, right now you and I are living in the church age. It's the age of grace. One of these days, when the last person gets saved in the church age, the Bible says that we're going up to be with Jesus. If you'll remember, young people, I spoke about that last week, how that the dead that have died in Jesus will be, their body will come up out of the ground. It will be a resurrected body. You're going to say, well, what about all those that are cremated? What about all those that died out there in the oceans in shipwrecks, that their bodies are no longer there? Well, let me tell you, the God I know, who created the worlds out there that scientists will never be able to plumb even one nth of the depths of, I'm not worried about him bringing up a resurrected body out of the ocean or from the dust from cremains. Are you? Think about all the people that have died in the wars and oceans and shipwrecks like the Titanic and many other in human history. I'm not worried about any of that. If he can put billions and trillions of galaxies out there in the heavenlies that we can only look at and speculate and know a little bit about, I'm not worried about how all of that's going to take place. But the Bible says those that died in Christ are going to rise up out of the grave. Jesus will step out into the clouds with a shout. The Bible says with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. Now the Bible says those of us that are alive at that time in Christ, that know Jesus, Our body has to be changed. And so we're going to be changed into a resurrected body, and we're going to go into the presence of Jesus. And so that, once we leave this earth and we're in the presence of Jesus, guess what? God's prophetic time clock starts to tick. 7 last years of human history, as you and I understand it. What will happen? Well, that's what we studied through the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19. When all of the turmoil upon this earth is unleashed, when there will be famines and pestilences and plagues and diseases, when the Antichrist, the one world leader, comes to power, that last 7 years of human history that is decreed upon the nation of Israel, that 70th week is yet to happen. As long as you and I are in this world, still in the age of grace, the church age, life will continue on. But once Jesus, once God the Father tells God the Son, Jesus, go get your children and bring them home, then you and I will be in this world till that happens. But once we're gone, a world leader comes to the forefront. He will have all of the answers to the Middle East problems that none of the politicians, Democrats, Republicans, independents, no dependents, that nobody can solve this side of eternity. They can fuss and fume and fight and all that they can do, but I got news for them. They need to read the Bible. That's what they need to do. They'd find the answer if they'd read the Bible. Well, one of these days, we're gone, and this one world leader comes to power. He's going to have a sidekick. He's called the false prophet, the one that will head up a false world religion. During that last week of the Jewish history, God is going to turn back to the nation of Israel. That's why, young people, the Bible says, and all Israel will be saved. It doesn't mean every Jew will be saved. It just means those Jews that do trust Jesus during that 7 years of tribulation upon the earth, then all those that do trust Jesus, then that's what that means. All Israel will be saved. What Daniel is doing, Daniel is in prayer time. Daniel's studying the book of Jeremiah. He's been in captivity all those years. And all of a sudden he gets excited because he realizes they're going to get to leave and go back to Jerusalem where his heart is. And they're going to get to take 7 weeks times 7 years each, 49 years, restore the city of Jerusalem, restore the walls, the streets. And then before Jesus comes riding into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday would be another 62 weeks times 7 years each. And when you take those 62 weeks to Palm Sunday, or when Jesus is cut off, that means where Jesus died on the cross, you take those 62 weeks and those 7 weeks of years they restored Jerusalem, that's 69 of the 70 weeks of human history decreed upon the Jewish people. So there's only 1 week left. You and I are living in the 60, we're living between the 69th week and the 70th week. And God stopped that clock at that time, so to speak. And the time from the 69th week to the last week of human history is where you and I are living. We're living in between the 69th week. That's all happened. All of those 483 years of human history have already happened. They're already passed. There's 7 years left whenever he restarts the clock and the church is out of here. And that will be the tribulation period where God pours out his judgment upon this sinful world. There will be people that will die for their faith. They will not take the mark of the beast. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on about this vaccine. If any of you've kept it, I mean, I've read so much, I don't know what's true and what isn't true. I wish I'd never read anything about it. There's a lot of people that got it out there, that there's a tracker in it and a microchip, and some are scared to death. It's the mark of the beast, and I mean, it's all over the place out there. Well, folks, let me tell you, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, we're going to be out of here. The Bible says that false prophet that heads up that false religion will cause everybody to come and worship this Antichrist, this one world dictator, and they will ask to be able to take a mark in their right hand or their forehead, which is the number and the mark of this Antichrist. And those who take that mark will be able to buy and will be able to sell. Those who take that mark are lost forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Those that do not take that mark will not be able to buy. They will not be able to sell. And so, young people, it'll be a cashless society. If you're keeping up with what's going on in the world right now, trust me, we're moving toward that one world government. We're moving toward that one world religion. We're moving toward that period of time. I'm just grateful and thankful that I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. And I'm not worried about it because I'm going up. I'm not staying here. And let me tell you, if you know Jesus, I believe you'll be gone from this world when that last week, that 70th week here in Daniel, of human history upon the Jewish people takes place. God will turn back to the Jewish people. He will use 144,000 Jewish evangelists that trust Jesus, and they'll be preaching to the world during that 7 years. He will also use two witnesses that we looked at, Moses and Elijah. We believed it is because they're also on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were given a glimpse of that future. And then he'll use an angel flying through the heavens proclaiming the message of salvation. During that 7 years, people will get saved. Many of them will die for their faith. Those that don't take that Antichrist mark, they're going to struggle to eat, because they can't buy, they can't sell. And it's going to depend on one Christian after another Christian to help them during that time. And so it's going to be a horrible time upon this earth. Right now, you and I are living in the age of God's grace. When the Jews rejected him, when he came, young people, when Jesus came to this earth and ministered and then died on the cross and shed his blood to cover our sins and to give us an opportunity to go to heaven, the Jews, so to speak, are on hold right now. You and I are living in this 2,000-year period of time between the 69th week and the last week of human history decreed upon the Jewish people. One of these days when we're gone, the last person says, "Lord, I trust you as my Savior." Jesus will step out into the clouds. The world won't see it, but all of a sudden, millions will be gone. They'll know something catastrophic has happened. I read several years ago, they're already planning to tell people that it's a gravitational force. Well, I know what the gravitational force is. It's the voice of the Lord saying, come home. And then on this earth, those left behind will deal with that last 7 years. The Bible says there in Daniel, he'll confirm a covenant with the people of Israel. Who is he? The Antichrist. What will he do? He will tell the Jews, hey, you guys can now build your temple. It will look like peace on earth. And that 7 years is divided into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is called the tribulation. They'll build their temple. He'll sign a peace treaty to let them build it. But the last 3.5 years is called the great tribulation. And that's where all hell breaks loose. He will take away his covenant with the Jewish people. And instead of them worshiping in that temple, he will demand worship. An image will be set up, and he will sit in the holy place, which was for God and God alone. He will set himself up to be worshiped. And that's what the Bible, young people, means, the abomination of desolation. The abomination, the one world leader setting himself up in the temple, wanting to be worshiped as God himself. And so, for the past 32 weeks, we studied the book of Daniel. We studied the book of Revelation, but chapter 9 in the book of Daniel is what opens up to you and me those 70 weeks of the history, future history of the nation of Israel. You see, that angel Gabriel told Daniel, Daniel, seal up the prophecy of your book. You know why? Because the Old Testament, they didn't see the church age. It wasn't revealed to them about the church age. And so they told Daniel, the angel said, seal up your book of prophecy. You see, it wouldn't be unsealed for us to fully understand until the church age, when Jesus came. And now we understand what Daniel chapter 9 means, because what was hidden in the Old Testament is now revealed in the New Testament. And that's why we can understand the book of Revelation, because it deals with the nation of Israel and the 490 years of their history. When Daniel was praying, when Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah, and the angel said, there's 70 weeks, 490 years decreed upon your people, the nation of Israel. 69 of those 70 weeks, they're already gone. Past history. It all happened exactly as the Bible said, to the day, the exact number of years. We have passed 483 years or 69 weeks. And there's 7 years left to make that 490 years of their history. And we're living in a pause right now. If this side of the church were those 69 years of Jewish history, that's all past. This over here, on this side, would be the future and our eternal home in heaven here upon this earth. But right here, the aisle is where you and I are living this morning. We're living between the cross and the rapture. We're living in the church age. We're living in the age of grace. Jesus turned to the Gentiles. The Jews didn't accept him as the Messiah. So he turned to the rest of the world. We were going to be included in his program anyway. But he turned to us. And so when the last person gets saved in the church age, the age of grace, then the church will be gone, and that time clock will start again of the last 7 years of the nation of Israel's history. And then the Bible says at the end of that last 7 years, you and me and the angels and Jesus were coming back from heaven. He will stop all of the problems of this world. The Bible says there he will cast into the lake of fire the one world dictator, the Antichrist. He's known as the beast. He will cast the false prophet, the one world false religion guy that heads it up. He will cast him into the lake of fire. They'll be the first two into the eternal lake of fire. The Bible says Jesus is going to set up his earthly kingdom. There's going to be peace on earth for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he'll unbind Satan, which he bound at the end of the tribulation for 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, he'll release Satan. There will be people born during that 1,000 years that come out of those 7 years of tribulation in their physical, natural bodies. You and I will be in our resurrected bodies. So there will be people born, and then they will choose, will they follow Christ or will they follow Satan? And he will end all of that, and those will be consigned that follow Satan for all eternity into the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment takes place for all of the lost of the ages. John said, I saw the dead, the great and the small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the book, singular, is the book of life. Their names won't be in it because they rejected Christ. The books will be the deeds that they did. You see, the lost will assume they can get to heaven by doing good deeds. Let me tell you, you can't go to heaven by doing good deeds. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. The only way you'll go is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. And when the books are open and they see their works can't save them, they will be consigned forevermore to the lake of fire, as the Bible says, which burns with fire and brimstone. Aren't you grateful this morning? The reason we work as Christians is we are saved so that we will do good works, so that people will see our good works and glorify Jesus who's in heaven.